Zanro on Double J.
It took a few years to make, and I took a little break in the middle of making it as well. So yeah, it's a record where I had to kind of live and experience a lot before I could really feel like I could be sure of the words that I was saying.
Do you feel like it was you or the songs that made it challenging to kind of move forward and finish? Was this like a different experience to the way that you've made records before, having that, I guess, that barrier to finishing?
It's really interesting because I've always made, I've made it a point in my writing to write about my own life and just write what I know, write about what I'm going through at the time. So they've always had this element of just a reflection of where I'm at. That's how I started as well, kind of making a document of who I was at the time, and where I was at the time. And this record, I had a really strange, surreal experience where I was falling in love after a big heartbreak, and I was kind of like realizing how love could be different for me this time around. And at the same time, my father passed away and we weren't particularly close. So I was kind of evaluating that whole relationship and just all different kinds of relationships. And I guess I needed to really take a minute to step back from the work to be sure that I believed myself. Sometimes the narrator is not always the most reliable. So I needed to make sure that I was a reliable narrator to myself. And in some cases, the songs were almost like fortune telling to me. They were almost telling me what I needed to do or prescribing me what I should be doing, which was very strange when I came back to it and hearing my own advice to myself.
Do you often use songwriting as a way to search through and find the answers? Is that something that you often do?
Yeah, I do. And that was what was so strange, is that with this album, it wasn't working in a way of like in a therapeutic fashion. Normally I was hoping, okay, I'm going to be able to work through this. And certainly some songs you don't put out, they're just there to help you figure out how you're feeling, or they reveal me to myself. But this time I just needed to shut that door for a minute and focus on what was in front of me and the emotions that were kind of taking place in my body. And it was a really strange feeling to realize, okay, I really need to come back to this and put my 100% focus. I can't let my focus be split. Sort of, I needed to be fully present in feeling everything that I was feeling with my father's passing, and then feeling everything that I was feeling in terms of falling in love, instead of analyzing it or overthinking it or trying to work through it. I just realized, okay, this is actually something that I'm going to turn back to later. And it was kind of stunning when I did come back to the record to see how much of it felt like a strange premonition or something. I was writing ahead of myself.
It's funny the way the subconscious works in that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Your subconscious knew the answers. The rest of your body and brain just had to catch up.
Yeah, and I think that happens to us all the time, where maybe we don't listen to our bodies or we don't listen to our intuition. And some things they do take time to understand. Like there's a song on my record called Already Forgiven that is about this idea of forgiveness that I've struggled with my whole life. When I was a kid, I was in Catholic school and I eventually switched to a public school, but this feeling of what does this mean and the kind of heaviness behind behind all of that. And I'm sure a lot of people who have different ideas and different experiences of that concept, but it took a long time for me to understand what it would mean for me and how I could get to this place of absolution, not just for other people, but for myself.
That song, Already Forgiven, is one of my favorites on the record. Do you think that you've gotten better at forgiveness as you've gotten older?
Yeah, it's not even just forgiveness. It's even understanding what it means for me. I think I didn't know how to stop letting myself relive certain experiences or how to move through that. And I guess I used to hold it against myself that I couldn't move on from certain experiences or certain moments in my past. And this was a really weird experience making this song, because we ended up recording The Wind outside. We were recording in Joshua Tree, in California, and we ended up recording this windstorm and putting it through all these different electronics and guitar pedals and things like that. And the wind, we kept the sound of the wind, but we also kept in the recording this like kind of melodic, it started to become super polyphonic and this melodic kind of like gathering of sounds, and it took on its own life force. And it was only then when I was trying to, I was kind of struggling with these lyrics for that song, and I realized, okay, this melody and the way that this wind has kind of taken over is sort of the feeling that I've always been trying to get to.
They say in time it fades, forget where you have me. Why can't I look away from the face I've seen? Sight on those days we spent in the park. Saw you chasing dreams down the boulevard. And I saw you're already forgiven. It takes so long to say it already forgiven. How long I let it stay.
This is an album that you collaborated with others on. US Girls is someone that you worked with on some of these lyrics. Is this the first time that you'd let someone else in on the writing of lyrics with your music?
Yeah, so and it's hard to let people in. But Meg from US Girls is one of my best friends in the world, and she's actually my bridesmaid at my wedding, so she knows me almost better than anyone else. Sometimes I think she knows me better than myself. And when she was working with me on my record, we were kind of looking at, she's someone who really pushes me to be fearless, and because she's my friend, she knows and knows me so well, she knows maybe the things that I'm more hesitant to, things that I want to maybe approach, but I'm more hesitant to approach. So the songs that we wrote together are Electric Roses, which is, I guess it would be like an old Hollywood or old kind of old world musical expression combined with lyrically this idea of these different notions of femininity that I've grown up with, that whether it was through film, TV, movies, in quotes, society, etc. These different expectations that I grew up with or had internalized, and then shaking them out and realizing that, you know, you can have your thorns and you can still feel charged by having all these different parts of you that aren't necessarily smoothed out and perfect. And the other song is called Pale Blue, which is a song, it's a message of support for anyone who's been through different experiences of abuse or domestic violence, and just an experience that I had where I was helping someone on the street that was in an altercation, and just a kind of almost a retelling and this kind of feeling of, I see you, I believe you, and I'm here for you. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing that you went in and intervened, but that would have been a pretty full-on experience, I'm sure, for you and for the person who was experiencing as well.
Yeah, and I think there's so much that we don't see, and there's a lot of, it's really hard to talk about, obviously, and it's hard, and sometimes that's kind of what the song is kind of about, is that it's, you don't even have to say anything. The lyrics are like, I see you, I saw this, I see you, I'm here for you, and that's kind of, in a more poetic way, that's what they're trying to say, because so much of it is just about being believed, right? So much of the difficulty of getting out of certain situations is just having that support and feeling that people are behind you.
Pale blue glow, under the shade you try to hide a bruise. In your eyes I recognize the hue. I'll keep on running, I believe in you, believe in you. Saw you in the rain, irises in the wind. Saw you in the pale blue. Saw them in the night, light is shining through. Stronger than the pale blue.
Basha, you headed to Joshua Tree to make this record. You kind of just mentioned it earlier. One of my favorite places in the world. There's something magical about that desert space. What made you want to head out to the Mojave to record this album?
I originally had been talking about it with my friend Jim, who's the producer of this record, for my previous record, and it didn't work out in terms of location or finding the right studio. And then this amazing studio came along that had all the right kind of elements. There was it was a kind of a beautiful space. It gave us that seclusion. It gave us that chance to access that mystical and mysterious energy that the Mojave Desert has in terms of all the music that's already come out of that part of the world and the art. There's something that, as you know, it's so hard to explain. It's such a rare and unique place, and it inspires a lot of different kinds of expression. And some of it's really hard to even understand why. I think there's something that I was thinking a lot about recently in terms of the climate is so unique. So much of the wildlife and even Joshua trees, for example, I didn't realize until I went there that they can really only grow in very specific climates. And so if you take a Joshua tree to Los Angeles, it won't really survive. I think there's something in that. There's some kind of metaphor in there. I'm not sure what it is quite yet. But I think that's part of why maybe so many people are attracted to this strange place, is that it's got all these contradictions, and all those contradictions are part of what makes it so special and why it has to be there. Mm-hmm.
It's a magical space. I think also just literally the space, that desert expanse, clears the mind. It enables you to be able to, I guess, see things and feel things in a way that a cluttery city like LA or any other city in America doesn't allow. Once you get out to that space, you can just see and think more clearly.
Yeah, and I think I've always been, I grew up in Toronto and I live in Montreal now, and I've always been attracted to places that are the complete opposite of my daily routine or my daily experience. So Toronto's not quite as big as Los Angeles, but it's definitely a busy city, and so is Montreal, though right now not so much. But the desert, yeah, being so quiet, and I'm sure you had this experience as well, where it's so quiet that you could see. I had this moment one afternoon where I could see somebody like maybe a few hundred meters away from me, maybe half a kilometer away, and they were sweeping, but I could hear the broom like it was right next to me. And there is something about that, like, really deep listening that happens. It slows everything down, and it makes you really listen deeply into your own body and into your own, into your own intuition or into your spirit. And I guess that's why people find it so spiritual, because it is. Yeah.
You're just making me want to be back there right now, Basha.
I know, like, it's so when good. I'm talking about it.
I love it so much.
Yeah, you can't really get it out of your mind once it's there.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah.
This is the second time that you've worked with Jim James as a producer. What is it about working with Jim that made you want to return this time?
There's a couple things that make Jim really great as a producer. I think the first thing is that he has that experience being on both sides of the board, so to speak. He's been in front of the microphone while there's someone else behind the glass listening intensely and critically. So he knows what that's like. And to be really emotional in those moments and to like work on really emotional music. He also, because he's one of my favorite singers, he also just approaches things in a really interesting way. In terms of the production, the most important thing is the energy. So I really appreciate that about him as a producer, and especially when you're trying to sing, you really want to have the right energy in the room. And on top of that, even though I was going through some of the most difficult times in my life, I've never laughed so hard making this record as I did when I was making this record. And he's a big part of that for sure.
He sounds like a lovely guy to work with. Obviously, he makes beautiful music as well. So, like you say, if you're struggling to get to the end of something, that's the kind of person that you want in your corner.
Yeah. He knows that I'm trying to push myself to do something different too. So a lot of times I think people are trying to maybe just repeat something or repeat something that they've heard or repeat something that maybe was successful in the past. And I think I feel lucky that I got to work with someone that is just interested in supporting what I want to do, which is to never try to repeat myself too badly.
Well, it's a different sounding record. It's a really rich sounding album, and you've got such an incredible voice, but it also feels like part of a fuller sound. Did you kind of experiment with many new sounds this time around?
There's a lot more me in terms of the instrumentation, and especially with the guitar playing and all the finger picking and things like that. The choice was sort of like, okay, this time around, make a lot more space to kind of put all of that in there, put more of myself in there, which I appreciated too, in terms of getting the same kind of team together and then letting me run wild a little bit with it as well.
Well, it sounds absolutely beautiful. And I mean, there's love, there's heartbreak, there's loss on this album. But what comes through the most for me is there's a great sense of hope. Is music a way for you to pull yourself up?
Yeah, definitely. And it's really weird putting this record out in this particular moment. I definitely had some mixed feelings about it a few weeks ago. I was feeling conflicted in terms of, well, does it make sense to put out a record? And, you know, is this the right thing to do? And will it seem strange? Because it felt like the world was changing every single day. And you want to do the right things. And it was so strange, because when I mentioned that to people online, you know, who are on Instagram or things like that, they were just so excited about the fact that the record was going to be coming out. And it made me realize that, yeah, it helps me come out of it. And just the way that my favorite records pull me out of really strange moments, up and down moments, remembering that I can be that for people is a very beautiful thing. And it's been very meaningful to me in this time to be able to have that role in other people's lives. And it's especially strange because I have a song, every song on this record is a question except for the last song, which is why I titled the album Are You In Love, because there's so many questions in all the lyrics and I wanted to make sure the title was a question. But the last song is actually just a statement. It's an answer that I had written to myself when I was in a very depressed state. And the song is called Love Is at the End of the World. And I wrote this song as a way to say thank you, or to honor all the people in my life who had pulled me through a really difficult time. My mother, my brother, my husband, my best friends. It's very strange that I wasn't sure to put out a record with a song like that, how it would come across to people. But I think people understood hearing the song where my words were coming from, and this idea of hope. You know, you don't want to be naive. You don't want to be, I found it so amazing to see Montreal is the hardest hit right now in Canada, and people have been so kind to each other, and people are just reaching out to each other in such amazing ways. And so it's strange. It feels uncanny, but I found it the lyrics to be more and more true now. It feels very uncanny, but it feels like I was telling myself this song in the moment when I was really down, and also for my future self without knowing it.
I guess meeting lots of different fans and having conversations with them about why my music matters, I kind of learned the painful truths of how difficult people's lives can be all around the world. And the reason music is so important to them is because it's been that thing that's helped them through.
Music makes you.
Double J.